Brother Lee just prayed we start a new series today, a series I've entitled One Another. And as we look back on the four core values that I've presented to you the last 4 weeks, to love God, love people, seek the lost, and make disciples, how do we accomplish those four core values? And I believe we accomplish those values the best when we operate in the manner in which God has instructed us to through His body, through the church, is where God intends for most of the ministry that has eternal impact to take place. Now, the church is made up of many individuals, but we need to understand that the Bible speaks clearly that it is a unified body. And normally, in the New Testament, there's 116 times that the word translated church, ecclesia, appears in the New Testament. 90 plus of those times is referring to a local body of believers. And so as we walk through these passages, as we think about what I would call these one another statements, we hear them in the context of a letter or a gospel that was written mainly to a local body of believers, and I believe applies to us today. This series will carry us for the next 9 weeks, and then that'll take us right up to the month of April. April the 7th, we'll start a new series on the resurrection. Obviously, that's coming up on Easter. 7th, 14th, and 21st, we will be dealing with the cross and with the resurrection. And then on April the 28th, many of you have been asking me, I thought you said you were going to preach through the book of Acts. We will begin on April the 28th, a study of the book of Acts, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Why? Because that's where the church was birthed. We see that in the book of Acts, and we're going to try to figure out how God intends us to operate as a body of believers. I believe a big part of that is this one another mentality. Let me just give you an example of some of these passages, some of the phrases that you'll hear over the next 9 weeks. And those of you that attend on Wednesday night, you'll remember that Brother Masters, pray for Brother Jerry Masters. He serves as an interim now down at First Baptist DeRidder. And so pray that he'd be as much a blessing to them as he was to us here at East. But he went over some of these on Wednesday night. But I have found that we can't get too much of the Bible. Y'all all right? We believe that. And so love one another is the main one. That's kind of the umbrella of all of these. Love one another. We see that in Romans 12. That'll be in next Sunday's message. There's a love one another phrase. We see that in John 15 and in John 13. Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, to love one another as I have loved you. We see it in James. We see a one another passage in James 5 verse 16. James writes this, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. You see these phrases, right? And there you've got two, confess your sins to one another. That means we got to be real with each other. Got to let down these facades that we all have it all figured out. Have y'all noticed anything about your preacher that I will admit that I don't have it all figured out? And I know that you don't either. All right? And you know that I don't. And we know that we're all a mess in some way. Sometimes it's just different parts of the day. Sometimes it's just different times of the year, whatever it might be. But we all have our messes. Y'all, don't look at me all spiritual. Y'all, we understand. We're on the same page. We're all in this together, one another. We confess our sins, one another. Be real with one another. We pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. Romans 15, 7 says, therefore accept one another. Accept one another. How? Just as Christ also accepted you to the glory of God. We're supposed to be like Jesus to one another. Treat each other like Jesus would treat. Do we always do that? I've been Baptist all my life. Can I just tell you, our testimony does not necessarily reflect that admonition from Romans to accept one another. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another. Uh-oh. It's going to get interesting. I'm just saying. Just as, how are we to forgive one another? Listen, he doesn't stop there. What's the instruction? Just as God also forgave you in Christ. I think I got a mosquito bite at the softball tournament this weekend. Praise the Lord. This Louisiana weather. I was freezing one day and getting bit the next. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 5:5. In the same way, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. One another, love one another, pray for one another, confess your sins to one another, be compassionate and kind to one another, forgiving one another. Walk in humility toward one another. I want you to look in our passage for the day, Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12 is our passage for today and for next week, and I'm going to try to work my way through verses 3 through 8 today and 9 through 21 next week. No, I'm not going to preach the whole chapter this time, but I could, but just not in one sermon. I tried one time, and it just will not fit as much as I try to rush, and I'll just go ahead and tell you there's some exciting news at the end of the service. So for those of you that try to duck out just a little bit early, you'll miss it if you do, so just hang on. But listen, I want you to hear the one another passage in this passage, the one another verse in this passage. Romans chapter 12, 3 through 8, but look real quickly at verse 5. In the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Do you see the picture? Now, I'm going to go through the other verses in a second, and it'll become a little clearer, but he's talking about the body has many parts, but there's one body, and in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ, individually members of one another. This is your church family if you're a part of East. It's family, and it's just like any other family. It is imperfect, and it's got its mess. And we got some crazy cousins. And if you're thinking about anybody individually, they might be thinking about you. So just be careful. But we're members of one another. We're in this together. How do we do this? How can we walk intertwined as members of one another and be healthy as we walk through this process? I believe there's three principles in this text. No, there's not always 3 points to every sermon. Some texts, there's only 1 point. Some texts, there's 6. You got to preach those quicker. But in this one, there happens to be 3, but I will not have a poem at the end. I've got a quote at the end, all right? So you good? But 3 principles I want you to gather from this text. If we're to walk in this in a healthy manner and see God move the way that I desire to see God move, the way that I expect to see God move, and the way that I hope you desire and expect to see God move, the first principle is this: we must walk in humility. To be healthy as members of one another with this many Baptists in one room, we've got to walk in humility. Look at it in the text. I want you to see it in the text. Paul says this, "For by the grace given to me." Paul recognizes that all he has that is good is grace. What he's about to tell them, he understands, has to be accomplished by the grace given to us by God. We can't do this in and of ourselves, in our power, in our flesh, in our ability. It is not our nature to walk in humility. It's our nature to walk puffed up and proud. But Paul says, "For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you." Who's this message for? It's for all of us. We all need this message. You need this message. I need this message that we would walk in humility. "For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think." That's an interesting word in the Greek. And I promise you, I don't like to make promises I might not keep. I will try not to even mention the original language unless I think it adds to your understanding of the text, okay? Now, the reality is the original language oftentimes adds to your understanding of the text. But the word here where he says, "Do not think of yourself, of himself more highly than he should think." The word that's written there in the Greek, more highly, to think more highly, is hyperphaneo. And I want you to hear the word hyper, right? It's to think about something, to think is phaneo, is the word, phaneo is the word think. But hyper, what does hyper mean? We've heard this word. Hyper is when you have too much of something. I sometimes have hyperactivity. I was waiting to hear any amens from that side of the audience where my wife is sitting. You have seen that my tendency is to get wound up and to speak in gusts. I start at about 60 miles an hour, and I gust up to 130, 140. And I promise you, the whole time in my mind, I'm saying, slow down, slow down, slow down. But I have hyperactivity, I'm pretty certain. Never been diagnosed and refuse to take any medication because I just believe it's the way Jesus made me. And so I'm just good. But thanks for your help. But hyper. If you have hypertension, you have what? You have too much high blood pressure, attention, it's causing high blood pressure, and it's not a good thing. To think about yourself too much is what Paul is saying. Don't think about yourself too much. See, I have found that when I make mistakes as a follower of Christ, or I fall short as a husband, or I fall short as a father, or I fall short as a man, it's normally because I am too self-centered in that moment. I am thinking too much about myself and not of others. I am hyperphroneo. I have too much thinking of myself. It's not a medicine, but the Spirit of God can cure this as we walk with Him. Don't think too highly of yourself. Paul gives us another insight in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. He says this: if then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, make my joy complete by thinking the same way, having the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Thinking about others. Don't think too much of yourself. Don't think too much quantity even of yourself, but think sensibly is what he says. Back to verse 3, he tells us, think sensibly as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. The word here, to think sensibly, to think with common sense, with soundness, with sober judgment is what the word means. And when I use the word common sense is almost becoming an oxymoron. It's something that two words that just don't seem to go together. Common sense is not all that common anymore. We have lost the reality of our desperate and complete dependence upon God. And we begin to think much higher of ourselves than we ought. Now listen, there's another extreme where we start to beat ourselves up and think that we are nothing. Listen, that is a lie from hell. You are a child of God. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. You were created by God Himself in His image. And if you've been saved, you are His son or you are His daughter. And there is nothing under this heaven or above this earth that can change that. You need not beat yourself in that way. But then we go to the other side, and preachers are real dangerous of this, when we begin to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And Paul's saying, hey, listen, just think sensibly. Just think with common sense. Just recognize that it's all about Jesus. Because here's the reality. You walk with Jesus as a minister of the gospel, as a lay minister of the gospel, as a woman who follows Christ, as a man who follows Christ, as a teenager who follows Christ, as a child who follows Christ. You walk with Jesus, Jesus will use you for His glory. He will accomplish things in and through you that you could never imagine. You know, how do you know, preacher? I've seen it. There's things that God has allowed me to be a part of that I could have never dreamt about. The problem is when we begin to think we had anything to do with it. It's got to be Him. Think sensibly. Paul says in Galatians 6:3, for if anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. What are we? My worth is in Christ. You know what's so freeing about that? Is that my worth is in Christ. It's not dependent upon my ability, and it can't be taken away by me or anybody else. Your worth is in Christ Jesus. I saw the bookmarks that are still laying around in a few places that Brother Masters handed out that one Sunday. You remember as he had you quote who you are in Christ Jesus. Factual, biblical truth. But think sensibly. It's not who we are, it's who we are in Christ Jesus. We need to walk in humility. If we're to be members of one another, we must walk in humility. The second principle I want you to see in this text, that if we're to be members of one another, we need to recognize that God has distributed to each one of us different gifts. Here's the principle. We are different. And we ought to shout amen. If we were all the same, this would be one boring place. Some of y'all like to shout when you get excited for Jesus. Some of y'all get a little scared when people start shouting. I just want to tell you which side I'm on. I hope some folks get scared coming up in the future. I'm just saying. I hope God does some things that some of y'all that ain't never shouted and all. I said ain't again. Good grief. I tried to get that out of my vocabulary. I said, isn't it, on Wednesday night, praise the Lord, isn't it? That's a contraction of a contraction, you know, but anyway. I hope God does some things that some of y'all have never shouted in public that you just can't help it. You'll just wonder how it came out. Because I know most of you saved, and the Holy Spirit's in there. Now, you don't have to, that's fine. You don't, none of y'all have to act like me. Why? Because you're not me. But I promise you, I'm still holding back. I'm trying to give y'all a chance to get used to me. But I'm praying that the day's coming that it's either run or shout or explode. And I'm not going to explode. I'm just saying. I'm going to do something. All right? Just be you. We're different. Some of y'all have different gifts. Brother Brad can pray the drums. I could go beat on them things, but it wouldn't make any sense. My daughter could go over there. She could do a good job at it. She's got different gifts than I do. Some of y'all, you couldn't ever imagine standing up here in front of everybody and preaching the word. I just tell people, say, you get nervous. The only thing that I feel of nervousness is I know that what happens in this place has eternal impact. That's the only thing that makes me nervous. And if I say something, my kids will make fun of me for the rest of the week. Those two things, that's the only thing. But you have giftedness. I promise you. You may not even know what it is, but God has given you gifts to be used, and he's made all of us different. And to work together, we need to understand that. So when somebody walks in and they worship different than you, and they sing different than you, and they might dress different than you, and they might have different aspects of their life or their culture that's different than you, you just need to kind of chill, okay? And actually, you need to rejoice in that. Now, obviously, if it's something that's dishonoring to God, or if it's something that's, you know, if somebody comes in with stuff that's worshiping the devil, we'll approach that. We'll deal with that. But I'm just talking about we're different, and it's a God-given gift to us as the body that we're different. Because there's folks of you in here, listen, there's some of you in here that can reach some folks that would never even give me the time of day. And there's some folks I can reach that would never give you the time of day. But together, because God's gifting us differently, we can reach anybody in this community and in the world for the gospel. He has not left his church lacking of anything. Now, there's some places we ain't found out who's got that gift yet, but he will not leave his church lacking. And we should rejoice in those differences because they are gifts from God. Look back at verse 3. As God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. God, when you were created, he put in you, in your DNA, I believe even, he put in you giftedness that he meant for his glory and for the good of the body. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who makes you so superior? What do you have that you did not receive? If in fact you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Listen, sometimes we have our gifts and we begin to think how great we are and we forget that God gave it to us. Some of you had the gift of having a lot of money. I haven't got that gift yet. I'm a thousandaire. I just want y'all to know. Hey, 10 years ago, I was a negative-aire, you know, so I'm happy. It's improved. Bless my dear wife's heart. She married in some poor folks, you know, kind of stuff. She came into marriage with a positive net worth, and after she said I do, it went negative real quick. Because what was mine, it was hers, and what was hers was mine, and it ended up on the negative side. But some of y'all have been gifted with finances, and God's blessed you financially. You do realize that's a gift from God, right? I just want to give you a strong warning. Try to act like it's yours. Try to act like it's yours. It can be gone like that. I promise every one of you, in 100 years or less, it'll belong to somebody else. You all right? Now, you'd like to think that person might have your same last name or might have had your same last name at some point, right? But it won't be yours. How are you going to steward that for the glory of God? God's given you those gifts. Everything we think we own has been given to us so that we can use it for his glory and the good of the body. You didn't receive it for just you. Now, there is a principle. There's a biblical principle of you reap what you sow. Hard work is a good thing. When you are broke, a great place to go is to work. I believe in it. But just remember, it's his. It's his blessing. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 12:4-7. Now, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries. Some of y'all can do great in adult Bible studies. Some of y'all are scared senseless of the student building. Some of y'all, God's going to call to the student building. But anyway, praise the Lord. Just don't run. Just surrender. It's all right. Some of y'all are scared. You feel great in Vernon Parish, but Africa just kind of scares you out of your mind. If you're fighting against something, can I just give you this? This is just free, all right? You don't have to pay extra. If there's something that you are fighting, I just don't want to do that. But it's a godly thing, and it's a God-honoring thing, and it's a ministry. I just want you to know there might be a reason you're fighting this, because God might be stirring you to do it. Y'all all right? Because I'll just give you an example. I know a young man in his teenage years that told God he would do anything but preach. And then that same young man, a few years later, he found out he really enjoyed preaching, so he told God he'd do anything but pastor. And so that young man, well, he's not a young man anymore, is now the pastor of East Leesville Baptist Church. Now I tell God, I'll do anything but be a multi-billionaire. I'm just testing to see. I dare you, God. If he answers that prayer, I believe I'll become a multi-billionaire, die the next day, and East Leesville will never have debt again, I promise. But don't pray that. Don't be praying for that. Are you fighting something? Is God's spirit stirring in you something? I can't tell you what that is. That's above my pay grade. That's above my rank. But I'm just telling you, if you're fighting something, I've found a lot of times, why would we fight that which God's not stirring us to? Quit fighting it. There's different gifts, there's different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God produces each gift in each person. Hear this part, verse 7. This is what the key that I want you to catch as we move on to the next principle. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for what? For the common good. Do you see it? Are you starting to see it? For members of one another. You have giftedness that's been given to you individually, but what? For the common good. The final principle I want you to see is this, and I'm going to show it to you in reading some of the biggest pieces of Scripture I've read thus far as your pastor. But I promise you, I know that always God's Word says it better than I can say it. And so I pray that you would pay attention intently as I read these passages. But the third principle is this. We have different gifts. We must walk in humility. We have different gifts, but we are mutually dependent upon one another. We need each other. We are mutually dependent upon one another. Here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For just as the body, same language, right, as Romans 12, is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. It's the same language that Jesus and Paul use for the church. And if the ear should say, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. See, sometimes we get so worried about what everybody else is doing, we lose track of what God's called us to do. It is not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged. Listen now, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. Though I cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, or the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor. And our unrespectable parts are treated with greater respect, which our respectable parts do not need. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. I pray that God's word helps you get this picture. It's not about you. And it is certainly not about me. It is about his bride, the body of Christ. Listen to Ephesians 4:11 through 16. And he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets. These are offices. Some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning or with cleverness in the techniques of deceit, but speaking the truth in love. Let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, listen, see this picture. From him, from Christ, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. Every one of you are one of those pieces, one of those parts that Christ himself is knitting to. I can't knit, but you can picture what that looks like maybe. That the hands of God are piecing this together. That we would work well as members of one another. I wish I could just look you all in the eye individually and just let you understand how important it is that we understand this as individuals, as part of the body. You have to understand it individually, as members of one another, that we might be what God intends his church to be here at East Leesville. If you are a part of this family, or if you will become a part of this family, it's not by accident. It's because God knows we will not be the church that he desires for us to be unless you're a part of it and functioning in that part to his glory. Look at the rest of the text. I mainly have done verse 3, but I want you to see the rest of our text this morning. Now as we have, verse 4, now as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we looked at verse 5, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And I've shown you how to do that. We have to walk in humility. We have to understand we're different, but that we are mutually dependent upon each other. Then Paul goes on to give some of these gifts that you've been given as parts of the body. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. Prophecy is to foretell the word of God. All of us have some level of that calling on our lives. Some of us have been given a gift by God to be a prophetic voice through the word of God. And it's not that you don't do any of that. It's that I teach you and others that have that gift show you and teach you how to do that as a follower of Christ. Some have the gift of service. All of us are called to a certain amount of service. But there's some that are gifted with servant hearts. You can think about those. You think about somebody serving somebody. There's particular people in this church that if you think about somebody that serves somebody in the name of Jesus, their name begins to come to your mind. That might be that they have that giftedness. That does not give you an excuse never to serve. That means they set an example for you. We say in service, then serve. If in teaching, then in teaching. Some of you have been gifted with the gift of teaching, and I know many of you are school teachers, and I know some of you would have the idea that I teach all week, and I don't necessarily want to teach on Sundays. Can I just exhort you, just maybe pray through if God's gifted you in that area. Does his body need you to serve in that area in some way? If you teach fourth graders, then I would say, sure, teach older kids or teach adults or somewhere, but if you have that gift, we need you to use it for the body, probably. And so maybe it's if you're a lady, it's leading and teaching a Bible study. If you're a man, it's leading and teaching some other place besides where you teach every day. I understand that. But God didn't give you that gift just for the Vernon Parish School Board. I know they're grateful, but he gave it to you for the body. I'm just saying, God directs you. Some of you have that gift. I know many of you have already, you teach all week and then you come teach here. That's fine. But maybe there's somewhere else. Maybe you have other gifts that God would have you to use in the body. That's fine. That's between you and Jesus. But I just want to encourage you in that. If showing others how to teach, if exhorting, encouraging, then an exhortation. If giving with generosity, some of you had the gift of giving, and you need to practice that gift, but it's not just, that doesn't give the rest of us a pass. Some of these things all of us are supposed to do. Some are supposed to set the example because God's given them that gift. Leading with diligence, showing mercy with cheerfulness. I need to find the men and women that have the gift of mercy because that's not one of my strongest gifts. I've grown in it. I'm pretty black and white. Wrong is wrong and right is right. And God's had to teach me that there's a wrong way to say the right thing. And we need to be full of mercy. You need to find yourself, if you're a prophet like I am, prophet's my leaning spiritually, prophets just tell it like it is. You need to find some mercy people just so you're not a jerk. And so you can actually have the opportunity to share truth in love. We need each other. Can I just tell you, Caroline Kiker compliments me. I'm not talking about she talks about how great I am or, you know, but she compliments me. Where she has weaknesses, I have strengths. And where I have weaknesses, she has strengths. And it doesn't always work perfectly because her husband's not perfect. And she's closer than I am, but she's not either. But a lot of you, the giftedness in your family, it's looking more like this. That's not how it's supposed to look, you all right? It's supposed to look like this. Together, stronger. Sometimes in the church, it looks like this. It's not supposed to. We are members of one another. We need to walk in humility. We need to recognize we're different, and we ought to rejoice in that. But we need one another. We are mutually dependent upon each other as the body of Christ. Let me give you this quote I found in a commentary, and I'm closing out. It's almost early, but don't get excited. We got a little bit at the end that I want you to be a part of, but here's what John Whitmer, one of the commentators from the Bible Knowledge Commentary that I found as I was studying, he says, here's the point. The point is that each member functions to serve the body, not the body to serve the members. Do you hear me? Each member functions to serve the body, not the body to serve the members. There's a mentality in the American church that we choose a church by what it can do for us. I'm not trying to go all JFK, but really it's what we can do for the church. This body exists not to serve you, but to give you a place to serve it. And more importantly, to serve Christ. Now, here's the reality. Because we are a one body, there will be times when you or your family are the recipients of that service because you just need it. Lewis and Pauline Klinkscales, they have received our service in the last few weeks because why? They needed it. They were in a terrible car accident. Betty Williams' family this week in the death of her mother, the body was represented to bring comfort. Why? Because a family in a time of death, they need that. That's why we're here. As one member suffers, we all suffer together. As one member rejoices, we all rejoice together. That's what it should look like. But the purpose is not that what I can get. The purpose is how I can serve the body. There's going to be days where your pastor is going to need that service. There's going to be days when your family needs that service. Oh, but that it would be that we are members of one another, serving one another instead of seeking to see how we can be served. Do you see the difference? Are you a member? I'm not talking about church membership yet. I'm going to get there in this series. I believe it's important. But are you even part of the universal body of Christ, the church? Have you been saved? You can't accomplish any of these things in your strength. In ourselves, we are the most selfish and not good to be around people in the world, I promise you. You are and I am. In my flesh, you do not want to spend time with me. In Tommy Kiker, there's not much there to offer. But in Christ, are you in Christ Jesus? Have you been saved? Do you know him as your personal Lord and Savior? You can't be a member of this body that's the body of Christ until you belong to Christ. You'll be a cancer in the body of Christ if you've not been saved. Some of the biggest problems in every church I've ever seen in my life is lost church members. They joined a church, but they never met Jesus. Them some tough folks to deal with. Because one, they think they're saved, and two, they think they're always right. And they act ungodly and can't figure out why anybody thinks they shouldn't be. If I'm talking about you, you can get mad, but you can get glad and get right. Do you know Jesus? I've been a member of this church longer than you've been alive, sonny. That's great. Are you saved? Will you ever see heaven? Heaven forbid. You're a member of a church all your life, but never meet Jesus. Do you know Christ? Don't leave this place without knowing Christ. You can know Christ. You can be saved before you walk out this door. Here's my prayer. God, make my heart the heart of a servant. You see, when you stand up here every week, sometimes it's easy to kind of drift into thinking that you're doing something. I'm not doing anything that's going to be of any value except if God moves. I don't have any ability to change anything except through the power of His Word and through His Spirit moving in His body. But if we will walk as members of one another, God's going to do something. God's going to change this community. God's going to change our families. God's going to change whoever He chooses to bring through our paths. We got to walk in humility. We got to recognize we're different, and that's a good thing. But we need each other. So my prayer is, Lord, give me a servant's heart. So many of those one another statements says, as I have loved you, as I have forgave you, as I have accepted you. You know what they're calling us to do? Those one another statements, what they're calling us to do? It's very simple. They are calling us to be more like Jesus and less like me and less like you, but more like Jesus. God's spoken to some of your hearts before you ever walked into the building today about something, a place of service, a place of repentance, a place of step of faith, follow the Lord Jesus in baptism, or to follow the Lord's command in church membership, whatever it might be, to be saved. You know you need to be saved. Whatever God's called you to do, I pray in these next few moments as we respond, you would just be obedient to what God's laid on your heart. Pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we think through your word, as we think through that we are members of one another, whatever needs to happen in us to be parts of the body that are healthy and fruitful, may that happen. If there's anything in us that is causing harm or unfruitfulness to the body, may you change it. May you convict us. If there's attitudes to other members of the body, may we deal with that first between us and you, and then if necessary, between us and them. Lord, if in any way we have wronged, if I have wronged anyone in any way, convict my heart that I would go to them, that your Spirit would convict me, and I would make those steps. And that every member, that you would speak to our hearts, that we would humble ourselves and be made right with one another. Lord, in this time, may you have your way as we respond to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.